Coming up on this week's Planet Japan, we'll tell you about two Japanese men who broke two big-time records recently, and we'll tell you where you can go in Japan if you need someone to seduce your wife. Stay tuned for episode 179, How to Grow Rice on Your Boobs.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Boom.
Direct from beautiful downtown Okayama City, Japan, you are once again, for no apparent reason, listening to Planet Japan. Get ready to join Doug and Jen as they take you on an unpredictable journey through the wacky and wonderful world they call home. And now, here's Doug and Jen.
So, Jen.
Hiya.
We're back.
We are.
I hope people missed us because we missed the people.
I know. It's been a while.
It's been a while because we are just the laziest people we know. Yeah. And we want to do a podcast once a day if we can, but unfortunately it works out to more like once every 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, we're trying to remedy that, but not very hard.
Yeah, because we're lazy, right?
We are basically really horribly lazy, and we really should do something about that. Yeah, maybe there's a drug we could take.
Oh, that would be an idea.
That would be nice. Yeah. We also might want to take a drug to decrease anxiety in the wake of the recent torpedoing of a South Korean ship that killed a bunch of South Korean sailors.
That's right. They sunk the ship.
Yeah, and now South Korea has officially determined that, it was those crazy people in the north that shot our ship. And so now they apparently have to decide what the heck they're going to do about it.
I know, because no one really wants to go to war with North Korea. Yeah. Not that they won't win. Of course, they will win. But, I mean, it's just a country of...
It'd be a big mess.
...starving people. It would be
And
just
we here
sad.
In Japan would probably get sucked into it somehow, I'm guessing.
In some fashion we would, I'm sure.
Now, North Korea, for their part, they said, when confronted with the evidence and accusations, they said, who, me?
Yeah, what?
What? Huh? Me? North Korea? What? We would never... Go away. We would never do that. You're just making that up.
But of course they're not.
I believe them. They look like an honest group.
Sure. Kim Jong-il. Man of his word.
Yeah, he's a nice guy.
He
seems like a perfectly reasonable fellow.
Yeah, he's never lied, ever.
No.
Yeah.
He's always told the truth about everything.
Exactly, yeah. There's no nuclear weapons there.
No.
Yeah.
Of course not.
No, never.
They're completely misunderstood about everything.
Yeah, but they do put on a good show. Yeah, they've got,
they have nice parades and nice
the parades
gymnastic
are,
things.
Yeah, yeah the shows are amazing.
Are
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course, I think, if you're not in step, they kill you.
Yeah, there is that. Yeah.
So there's the motivation and incentive to do well.
Exactly, yeah. You don't want to get sent to the gulag. Now, of course, Kim Jong-il, our dear leader.
Yeah, dear.
And he really is dear.
Yeah, dear.
He's a cutie. a lot of people think he's not going to be around much longer. He appears to be rather in frail health.
Yeah, he's not in good health.
Yeah.
Not at all.
So once he leaves the scene, his 5-year-old boy is going to take over, apparently.
Yeah, the youngest of his sons.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
They've already made a song about it.
About the boy?
Yeah, about the boy.
The 5-year-old?
Yeah. They've already made a song, so...
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah.
They're ready to go then.
They're set. They've done their
he's not
homework.
How old is he? He's 25.
No,
He's in his 20s.
He's in his 20s, but he's also not in great health.
That's all we need is a 20-something running North Korea.
Well, of course, it's not going to be really him. It's going to be all Kim Jong's cronies, right?
Yeah, they'll put the kid in a room with an Xbox and tell him, hey,
some ice cream.
Play your little games and we'll take care of everything.
Exactly.
Oh, Lordy.
Dear.
Yeah. Well, hey, we got lots of fun stuff, as usual. Yeah. Really, as always, I'm Doug DeLong.
I'm Jennifer Edda.
And we are back here for episode 179 of everybody's favorite podcast, The Planet Japan.
Planet Japan.
Yeah, we got lots of fun stuff.
Excellent.
We got lots of interesting email this week, and people are really good at sending us stuff.
I know. Yeah, it's been nice.
Not
because we are lazy.
Stuff, but ideas and stuff.
Yeah, ideas and things like that.
Money would be better, but stuff is good.
Stuff is good. Yeah. We're lazy. We need the ideas.
Our friend Parrot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Our talking bird. He sent us a recommendation for one of his favorite podcasts and said, well, we should listen to it.
Right, yeah.
And so I did, and it's interesting.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, it is. It's actually interesting.
It's called Irreligiosophy. Now, there's a fun made-up word.
I know, it's kind of fun. Yeah. It's not so easy to say, but yeah.
A combination of irreligious and philosophy, I'm
exactly.
guessing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, these are a couple of ex-Mormons.
Okay, right.
And they sit around and they mock religion. They're rude, they're crude, they're lewd.
Wow.
Not sure if they're nude.
Well,
but they are shocking. And if you listen to it and you have any sensibilities at all, I'm sure you will probably be shocked to the very core
wow.
of your being.
Okay.
And of course, those are all the reasons that we here at Planet Japan officially love irreligiosity.
Yay!
starring the inimitable Leighton and Chuck.
Chuck, yeah. Leighton and Chuck.
And they talk about some fun stuff. Like
interesting stuff, yeah.
Chick tracks.
The chick tracks, yeah.
Yeah, because so-called, by the way, not because there's any hot chicks in them.
No,
you would think.
Not really. Not in a religious publication. No, no.
No, it's more because the guy that draws them mm-hmm. is named Jack Chick, they're in the form of these little comics.
Comic books, yeah.
To make them entertaining and fun.
Yeah, 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 and you know, to please the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's for the kids. It's all about the kids. Yeah, but and they're also just creepy, yeah.
They're a little bit creepy because they all end up telling you you're going to hell.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Unless you get straight with Jesus,
yeah,
you are headed for the fiery pit.
Mm.
And you better watch out.
Yeah.
You better not cry. You better not pout.
Yeah.
I'm telling you why. Jesus Christ is coming to town.
He is.
There you go.
Yeah, like tomorrow or something, right?
Any day now.
Yeah, it's always like tomorrow.
Like a thief in the night, he will arrive.
Always, always.
I always
tomorrow.
Thought that was an odd comparison to compare Jesus to a thief. You don't really want to do that, do you?
No, not really.
No, I don't think so.
Like more like Santa Claus, maybe.
More like Santa Claus.
Yeah.
Exactly. Now, a lot of people speculate that Superman was really Jesus.
Oh.
Superman sent to Earth by his father to save the world. Just like Jesus.
Just like Jesus.
But his mother was not a virgin. Everybody knows that. Superman's mother was kind of a slut.
No, she wasn't.
I'm pretty sure she was.
No, she wasn't. She was a nice mother. Gosh, terrible.
In any event, we've wandered off the point just a little bit.
Oh, I know.
Yeah. We do definitely want to recommend this podcast to
people.
Irreligiosity.
Yes.
And you're probably not going to say it right the first time. We had to practice.
We did practice,
for
actually.
A while. Yeah. And then we cut it out.
Oh dear.
But it's fun and interesting, and people should give it a listen at irreligiosity.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you're not sure on the spelling, just go to planetjapan.org and we'll have a link. Wonderful link.
Yeah.
Right,
that'd be
there.
Good.
It'll take you right there.
Yeah, wonderful.
We got some other email from our friend Frondo Bagal.
Yes.
Or is it Bagel?
Bagel Bagal. I know.
We hadn't heard from Ms. Bagal for a while, or Bagel.
Hmm.
And she said, sorry I've not been around for a while. She had an iTunes situation.
That's too bad.
You know how those iTunes situations are. She said she enjoyed the interview with a cow that we had with our old friend Amy a few weeks ago.
Yes.
She said it's good to hear that the cow population is well looked after. And then she talked about a boob quake.
Yeah,
we talked about that
last
time.
Yeah, we talked about the boob quake,
She said, I think I may have helped with the boob quake, as I did wear a rather skimpy, low-cut top.
Well.
So she wanted to contribute to the experiment.
Wonderful.
To see if cleavage really does cause earthquakes. Yeah. So that was nice that she did that.
Mm.
And then she says, she's also wondering if she could lend us a hand doing anything. She's only got a part-time job, she says, and so she has a lot of free time.
Wonderful.
And maybe she says that she could look up wacky things for us.
Okay.
She would be a wacky thing looker-upper.
Okay.
Yeah, she's volunteering.
She's volunteering.
Well, we always encourage people to send us wacky stuff.
Yeah. That'd be cool.
That's just part of our listeners' job description.
I know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So thank you, Frondo.
Yes.
We also got another email from our friend Heidi Baggett.
Well, there you go.
We got a bagel and a baguette.
Bagels and baguettes.
Bagels and baguettes.
Yeah.
That sounds like a new shop that somebody should open.
I know. Here in Japan, so that I can have a decent breakfast.
Exactly.
It doesn't include...
Well, there's a good bagel shop in the train station.
I know, but it's not open early.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's only open for lunch.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah, I know, because...
I'm sorry to hear that.
I know, because then I'm forced to eat, you know, fried fish every morning.
Fried fish. Heidi's our friend who lives in China at the moment.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, and she says the Chinese TV is nothing to really get excited about.
I know, she's found some interesting Japanese shows, but yeah. I gotta say, regular Japanese shows are just about as crappy.
But she sent us some stuff from a really popular Japanese show from the 90s called uh-huh. the Vermilion Pleasure Nights.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Some really funny, unusual
They are
stuff.
Quite funny. Yeah.
Including a one-point English lesson.
Yeah, that is quite interesting. Yeah. That's well written, actually. If you understand Japanese, give that a listen because it's quite yeah. good. Yeah.
We'll put a link on our in our show notes and let people take a look at that one. And the other one is called the Fukons, which is a series of videos acted out by mannequins.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. They have mannequins, and somebody's doing a voiceover
with very strange
situations. And, yeah. yeah, yeah,
or very strange dialogues.
Yeah, voiceovers and stuff. Yeah. That's also
it's quite amusing.
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny.
So we'll put a link to those as well.
Wonderful.
So thank you, Heidi.
Yeah, yeah. Thanks a lot. That was fun.
Couple of big record breakers, Japanese record breakers in the news.
In the news, all over the news. Yeah. Mr. Ishikawa, he's hot right now.
Japan's answer to Tiger Woods without all the sex partners.
Yeah, apparently. Yeah.
He's 18 years old.
Yeah, he's 18.
He's a phenom.
He is. He went pro right after junior high school and just decided to do that. And he's been doing quite well. Pretty well for himself.
Being and so recently young. He set a record.
A world record. Guinness
world record.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's in the Guinness Book.
Right now, yeah.
Because?
Because he's got the lowest score for an 18-hole round of golf.
In an officially sanctioned tour event.
That's right.
Yeah. He shot a 58.
A 58?
12 under par.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't even know what that means.
That means you're really good.
Yeah, yeah. It means you.
Of course, my best score is 66, which is also pretty good on my little, PlayStation game.
On PlayStation?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm really good on the PlayStation.
See, I've never actually played golf. Like, my putt-putt score was on. I think I actually got a hole-in-one once.
In putt-putt?
Yeah.
Once?
Yeah. I mean, dude, I haven't played
you're a
in years.
You're a real pro, aren't you?
I haven't played in years. That windmill's hard.
Oh, sure. The windmill will kill you every time.
Yeah.
Yeah. So congratulations to Ishikawa-san.
Yeah, Mr. Ishikawa.
For setting the record.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wonderful.
58.
I know. He's all over the news. He's holding
Amazing.
His little world record thing, and he's just all smiley. He's also got a little sister, and she's in elementary school or junior high. Still young, but she's also quite good. So
indeed.
She's coming.
Really?
Yeah, she's the next one. She's coming.
Now, the other record setter here in Japan this week, it was a guy named Masanobu Sato.
Ah, yes.
And he has done the nation proud.
Proud.
By going to San Francisco and entering the annual San Francisco Masturbate-a-thon.
Where
the idea is to see how long you can masturbate.
I know, but like, you're supposed to do that in front of people for a long time.
That's, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's an annual thing in San Francisco.
An annual thing.
Men
That's
and
amazing.
Women.
Men and women coming together.
Compete. To see how long you can endure.
That's amazing.
Yeah. It's, And it's every bit as prestigious as the 58 that he shot on a golf course. Come on.
I guess so.
This guy kept it going for over 9.5 hours.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah. Now, apparently he works for a Japanese company that produces sex toys and AIDS and so on.
Oh, okay. Well, then that's
so he was able to use and promote at the same time some of his company's products.
Exactly. Well, that's
nice.
Yeah, that is good. That's mix a little bit of business in there.
You betcha.
Yeah, exactly. He's doing well for himself, I'm sure. Wonderful.
Now, he says his family's very proud of him. And really, why wouldn't they be?
Oh, gosh.
And he really has the nation, really, the whole country is singing his praises as a sterling example of what Japan can really produce when they put their mind to it.
Exactly. Japanese culture. Yeah, here we go.
Exactly. Now he's thinking about maybe if he can really get up the strength, he wants to enter the world championship, the world masturbation championship in Copenhagen.
Oh, that's
coming soon. Where he would compete against masturbators from around the world.
From around the world.
Yeah. And ESPN has signed on to televise this world championship. A first, really, for the network.
Sure.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Huh.
Okay.
Okay.
No, people are going to think I made that up. But it's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
And we'll put a link, of course, as we always do, at planetjapan.org. So congratulations to
both
of our record breakers.
To the record breakers.
This
All right.
Week. Yeah.
Way to fight.
Now, speaking of masturbating.
Oh. here we go.
The wonderful people at Triumph International.
Yeah, our bra company.
Not the motorcycle people.
No, the bra company. We talk about every so often, yeah.
Every year or so, they come out with a new novelty bra.
Yeah, the novelty bra.
Not really meant to be taken all that seriously, but it tends to get people to talk about their company.
Exactly. That's exactly what they want.
And so this year, they've come up with the...
With the rice bra.
Of course, the
rice bra. It's promoting sustainability, environmental sustainability.
See, it always has a good point.
Yeah, they always...
Usually environmental.
So. They usually sort of tie it into to something that's going on in the news or something. Yeah. Anyway.
And in this case, their point is...
Their point is, right now you're trying to be more environmental and reduce your carbon footprint and things like this. And in Japan, right now, growing your own vegetables or growing your own rice is seen as a good thing, right? Everybody's trying to do this. And so what they've done is they've made this bra that also doubles as a rice grower.
Well, how handy is that?
I know. Except it doesn't look very comfortable. it's like they've taken a pot for flowers, and they've cut it in half, and that is the cups.
Right.
Right. And they've got these pouches, and you put the soil and the seeds in there, mm-hmm. and the rice will come up out of there.
You just grow rice right there on your boobies.
On your chest.
Yeah.
Yeah. They even have a watering hose that it's kind of like a little belt
uh-huh.
that you can wear. And it also comes with gardening gloves. Very important
nice.
In Japan.
You have to have the gloves.
Yeah.
And then is there also like a little miniature rice cooker where you can actually cook the rice right on your boobs?
No, that would be kind of hot, I would think.
It would be kind of hot.
No. It would be kind of like uncomfortable. But yeah, anyway. Yeah, it doesn't seem like there would be that much rice to be grown on your chest. I guess it depends on the cup size, but...
Exactly.
Yeah. But, you know, you're not going to get quite a whole meal out of that. Maybe a breakfast onigiri or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. But, and also, I don't see how you can wear clothes over this.
Well, you wouldn't want to. You want to show it off if you have it.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
You want to go around
look
town
at me.
And
I'm
go,
Echo. Look, I'm
I've
growing.
I've got rice growing right on my boobies. How often do you see that?
I know. Yeah, I got potted plants on your chest. Anyway,
it's the rice bra.
It's the rice bra
from Triumph International. Yeah, go out and get yours now. Well, okay, it's time for our most serious story of the show.
Mm.
It's about a growing trend, a somewhat disturbing trend going on in Japan.
Yeah.
But first, we kind of have to set the scene as to why this has come up in the news recently, and it's really all has to do with a love story. It's very kind of a romantic story about a Japanese man who met a woman in a supermarket and said to her, "Excuse me, but could you tell me where to find some really good cheesecake?"
Right.
Oldest pickup line in the book.
Cheesecake. I suppose in Japan that would work. Yeah. Sweets are popular.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
And she apparently gave him
some
recommendations
advice,
about cheesecake.
Cheesecake. Hmm.
And that was the beginning of a romance.
A romance.
That lasted quite a while until at the point that he killed her. And that took the romance right out of the relationship.
Yeah, that took the relationship right out of the relationship, yeah.
Exactly. Mm,
take people out. Yeah. Okay.
Now, the backstory is really what's interesting about this particular event. And that is that it turns out that the man who ran into the woman in the supermarket didn't do it just...
Randomly.
He had actually been hired by this woman's husband to seduce his wife.
Yeah.
Now, there's a good job if you can find it. A man pays you money to go out and seduce his wife. Who really wouldn't want that job?
I don't know. It depends on why he wants his wife seduced.
Exactly. Show. Yeah. So it turns out he wanted this man to seduce his wife because he wanted to divorce his wife and he didn't really have a good reason.
Yeah. And in America, you can just use any reason, just like, I'm tired of you, bye. But in Japan, you really can't do that.
Right, you got to have a good reason.
Yeah, got to have a reason. And so he created a reason.
Yeah, he hired this guy to romance her and seduce her and took some pictures and used those pictures to get a divorce.
Right. Yeah. Nice guy.
Now, apparently these are set up by these companies. They're called Wakare Saseya, which means in English...
Well, wakare means to split up, and saseru means to make someone to do, or it also means to let, but in this case, make. So make someone split up.
Right. Mm. So in English, we would call them splitter-uppers.
Sure. Yeah. Splitter-uppers.
So these private detective agencies will go out and hire actors and so on to create situations that involve splitting people up in one way or another. Another way they might be used is, for example, if a mother and father don't like the person that their son or daughter is hanging out with or engaged to, maybe, or whatever. And they hire somebody to come and seduce away the offending party.
Nice. Yeah, they really don't like confrontation in Japan at all. Yeah.
It could also be used by an employer who's looking for a reason to fire somebody.
Right, it's terrible. Yeah, it's so not not good.
You can be real creative in how you use these companies.
Yeah.
That have become very popular recently. You can find them advertising on the internet. They have websites.
Yeah, they have websites, sure.
Sure.
Yeah.
Hire us. You got somebody you wanna seduce for whatever reason, they will send somebody out. Yeah. Now, here's where the problem really happened with this particular case, is that the man who was hired to seduce this woman actually fell in love with her.
Oh,
you know, that
be
happens in the movies all the time.
It does. Yeah. You know, these sort of Sleepless in Seattle movies. Yeah,
exactly. He didn't really mean to fall in love with her, but he did.
But he did.
He fell in love with her.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's kind of sweet, but...
And it sounds like it should have a happy ending. But of course...
Of course it doesn't.
At some point, the woman found out the secret that he had been hired by her husband.
All right.
And she didn't take kindly to that.
Yeah, that would... Yeah. Yeah. That would.
That kind of threw a wrench into the relationship.
Yeah, that would be a big wet blanket, I would think, yeah. I wouldn't be too happy, for sure. Nah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so she got angry. They got in a big fight.
And at the end of the fight, he concluded the fight by killing her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So...
So, yeah, it didn't have a happy ending.
Yeah, too bad.
And so now people are questioning the morality and legality of these particular kinds of companies that have been operating.
Finally. I mean, really?
It only took a murder. Now, you know, in the U.S., there's something kind of like that. For example, if you're a woman who suspects her husband is fooling around,
but you, yeah,
you can hire
a private detective,
a woman,
yeah,
to go out and try to seduce him. To see if he will.
To see if he would
take
do.
The bait.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a little bit different idea, but it's still, you're hiring
that's
somebody
still
to
pretty,
seduce.
That's still pretty somebody. Wrong, I would think. You know, it's still not right.
No, I wouldn't. wouldn't recommend going that route.
People are so weird.
Yeah.
Oh. Anyway, yeah.
So there you go. Wakare Saseya is the name of the businesses that operate
in Japan.
This kind of
right now.
Service for people.
Yeah, take care.
Yeah, the father of the victim is on kind of a crusade to go after these companies.
Yeah, I would think so, too.
He said you shouldn't be able to mess with people's emotions this way.
Yeah, honestly. Yeah, it's really not right.
Should be a law against it, is what he's saying.
And there might be someday.
Well, it must be time for this week's Dick of the Week.
Oh.
And we got a good one. It was sent to us by our friend Diane, Microsoft Diane.
Okay.
In Washington.
Yep.
And it's about a guy on an airplane. As 80% of our dicks of the week, for some reason, seem to be on an airplane.
Seriously, recently they've all been related to
something
flying.
About being on an airplane that brings out the worst in people.
Yeah, no kidding.
Yeah. Oh. His name is Marcel Cote.
All right.
And this happened way back in February 2008, but now he has decided he's going to sue the airline, a Canadian airline called Air Transat.
Okay.
And he says the reason he's suing is because they wouldn't look at his penis.
Yeah.
What?
And everyone's like, huh?
What? Yeah, the headline is, man sues Canadian airline because they refuse to look at his penis.
Okay, no, but he obviously had a reason. Why did he want people to look at his penis?
Well, he had gone to the bathroom and he noticed that he was bleeding from his genital area.
Oh.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, that's not good.
So he asked a female flight attendant to send one of her male colleagues and asked the guy to look at his penis because it was bleeding, you see. The flight attendant said, no, thank you. I'd rather not, but here, have some wet tissues. Feel free to use these wet tissues in the privacy of the of the bathroom. He gave him the tissue, and then when the plane landed, they whisked him off to a hospital.
Right.
And the doctors there determined he had a ruptured vein.
Ooh.
Probably too much Viagra. That's what I'm guessing. He just blew up.
Well, who would be taking Viagra on a flight?
Oh, you'd be surprised.
Oh, please.
The Mile High Club is something that people really want to, you know, be proud to say that they are a member of. Of course, the point the airline made was we're not really trained to examine penises. Or genitalia of any kind, for that matter.
Right. They're not medical professionals.
They're not doctors.
So they couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah. The judge in the case became the voice of reason and rejected the whole entire case. And said it's not incumbent upon a flight attendant to conduct the medical examination of the passenger.
True.
A measure reserved for the medical profession.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
Well, there plus, nobody wants to look at anybody's bloody penis.
Exactly.
I mean, please. Come on. What are you thinking?
That's odd. That's an odd story.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit bad for him. I think he was kind of maybe freaked out.
Yeah, a bit of a panic.
Yeah, a bit of a panic. But there's no, I mean, it's happened in 2008, yeah? He's had some time to you know, calm down, you know?
Exactly,
yeah.
Now, what's the deal on airlines? Do they normally have some kind of medical professional on board in case of a medical emergency?
I don't think so. I think they're probably trained in some basic first aid or CPR or something like that.
But bleeding penises would be beyond their scope.
Exactly.
Yeah. So really the moral of this particular story is before you get on an airplane, make sure your penis is intact and not bleeding or anything.
Yeah. Give yourself a little once-over. Make sure, just check it out. Yeah. Make sure nothing's a little out of the ordinary. Don't flip out on the plane. The flight attendants cannot help you.
No. Yeah, exactly.
Don't think that anyone on the plane is going to be able to help you. So.
Well, there you go. Okay, so that's this week's Dick of the Week, Marcel Cote.
Congratulations.
And I'm sure he's fine now.
Yeah, he's fine.
I hope he's recovered.
2008, I think.
Sufficiently.
He's okay, yeah. He's well enough to sue someone. Jeez.
Okay, let's conclude the proceedings with everybody's favorite language lesson, Nihongo Go-Go.
Yeah, Go-Go Nihongo.
Where we give everyone some Japanese idioms and onomatopoeia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that they can impress their friends with their knowledge.
Yeah. Maybe it's fun for parties.
This week's idiom is
kubi o nagaku suru.
One more time with feeling.
Kubi o nagaku suru.
There you go.
Yeah.
And it means?
Well, kubi means neck, and nagaku means to elongate. Yeah, and suru means is a verb that means be or do. I'm sorry, do. So it means your neck is make your neck long, and it means to anticipate someone coming.
Ah.
So it's like if you can imagine maybe a little kid who's waiting for his dad to come home and he's like craning his neck, you know, like, oh, where's daddy? You know, where is he?
Okay.
So that's what it means.
But it's not like rubber necking.
No, it's not like rubber necking. It doesn't have that sort of connotation. It's just more cute.
You're anticipating the arrival of someone.
Right. You're kind of looking around.
You stretch
your neck. You're looking around for them. Yeah.
Okay.
Very cute.
And this week's onomatopoeia is?
Nudu-nudu.
Nudu-nudu. I like that one.
I know, because it sounds like what it is. Exactly.
Yeah, and it means?
It means slimy or slippery.
Slimy or slippery.
Yeah.
So if I'm talking about Republicans, for example, that would be the perfect onomatopoeia to use.
No, unfortunately not. It's more of a direct adjective. Talking about maybe, you know, slippery foods or...
Oh. Eels.
Eels or something. Yeah, eels snakes. Are slippery. Snakes. Yeah.
Snakes are not really slimy, though.
No,
that's
but
a misconception.
People, it is a misconception, isn't it?
Yeah, snakes are furry. Everybody knows that.
Okay.
Yeah, okay, something. So nudu-nudu.
Nudu-nudu.
Slimy.
Yeah. Slimy.
Okay. Well, that's it for Nihongo a Go-Go. It went.
Yeah.
It's gone.
It's gone.
Yeah, until next time.
Until next time.
Yeah. And speaking of going, that's kind of what we have to do now.
Yeah.
Thanks, everyone, for listening as usual.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be back
sometime.
Next time.
Oh, God.
Don't forget, all of our lovely show notes are over at planetjapan.org. You can send email to us at planetjapan07@gmail.com. And we're going to close the show this time with a beautiful song by a singer named Chris Anzi. She's an Italian singer who lives in London now. The song is called Save Your Prayers, and it's brought to you courtesy of musicalley.com. It's been fun. It's been real. And we'll see everyone next time.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Every day, going about my business, so peaceful and calm, as dangerous as it can get. Nonetheless, this is my land and I am king of my people. Funny enough, I had a dream of darkness coming to upset my world as I know it. Upset my world as I know it. You rob my life of showers of love. Remove your shacks and save your prayers, yeah. For someone who believes in them.
It's called irreligiosity. It's called irreligiosity.